1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to thank God for just a wonderful opportunity to be here this morning and to worship the Lord. I told the Sunday school hour, you know, we just never can take for granted these things that God has blessed us with. The freedom to worship and the comforts of this building and just many, many things we can thank God for this morning. And thankful for the good crowd and thankful for the good week. We are just coming off of our really a week ago. We ended our week of winter revivals with the Aaron Coffee team. And boy, we're just really still seeing fruit from that. And I know I am in my own heart. And so I'm just praising God for that week. I just felt like it got us off on the right foot for 2018. I'm here to tell you. And just appreciate the good spirit that we've had in our services. And appreciate you folks wanting to worship. You know, I believe that God is pleased when we come ready to worship. And not just to check off a list of some sort, you know, that we've been to church, but to come and engage in the precious worship in spirit and in truth. And praise the Lord for that opportunity. Well, you'll find your place there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This has been our theme for this year. That is our theme. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I mentioned a few things about this verse on our vision night and was explaining the areas that we're going to try to focus upon, areas that we will ask the Lord to help us and strengthen us to be faithful stewards. But I want to just try to dive into a little bit more of the meaning of this verse and ask the Lord to really prepare us for what He has in store for us this year, as He has called us to be stewards, to be managers, to be responsible for what He has given us. Let me read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning there in verse 1. I'll just read verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Let a man so account of us," in other words, take record of us, "as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." You know, this passage here is Paul basically writing to a church in Corinth and is going to explain to them that God has entrusted him to be a minister, a steward. And he's saying, listen, and you're going to be able to see it. It's going to be evident. I have nothing to hide here. What I'm bringing is I'm a steward of the mysteries of the gospel. And you'll see it as I minister to you and as I write unto you. And he's also saying to them the same thing, that we are, as the children of God, those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are stewards. We are stewards. I want to talk a little bit about what that means this morning. The title of this morning's message is this: A Faithful Steward. A faithful steward. Does the name Doug McMillan ring a bell with anybody here? Doug McMillan, I see one head nodding, and I believe I know why. You know, he is the president and CEO of the largest employer in the world. In the world, with 2.3 million employees. It's a big company. It's a lot to be in charge of. It's a lot to be oversight. I'm sure you've heard of it. A place called Walmart. It is the largest employer in the whole world, and the CEO and president, Doug McMillan, who's in charge at this point, oversees this great industry, this great employer. You know that place, Walmart. You know that place, men, that place you love to go on your free time, just to see what kind of deals you can find, you know. But it is a very large company for sure. They're in over 28 countries with 11,600 stores. They have customers numbering 260 million every single week. 260 million customers will go through the Walmart stores in some way throughout the week. I'm sure if I took a would raise your hand, how many of you went in Walmart? It'd probably be at least half of us. I got the joy of being in Walmart yesterday. Can't you tell how excited I am? Yes, we go to Walmart. Most of the time we have to, but you know, I could talk about the different things at Walmart, and I might as well say this. You know, don't you just love it when you go in Walmart and you battle it and you get through, and of course you have to be spiritual when you get to everything that they're out of that you need, and then you get out of there and you get halfway down the road and you realize you forgot the ranch or something. And you know you got to go back. Who likes going back to Walmart in the same hour? Nobody. But let's just be honest. The place can be a blessing, okay? And we know it's a big place. But this man, I can't imagine his job. Thinking about being over 11,000 stores in 28 countries with 2.3 million employees. I'm telling you what, that's a lot to be responsible for. You know, Mr. McMillan, he has been entrusted with 2.3 million employees to be faithful to their job. They've come forward. They've applied. They said, I'm in. Let's save more, spend less. Is that the way it goes? I don't know. Something like that. Roll back. I know the one person that was shaking their head was Miss Cindy. She's one of those faithful employees. And so we see that indeed it is a big position. And along in that position with the 2.3 million employees, you can almost guarantee that within that 2.3 million employees, there are probably 230,000 at least some type of managers. Assistant managers, store managers, produce managers, this manager of the departments. At least 230,000 are spread about that have their little areas of responsibility to help, if you will, oversee, to help, if you will, manage, to help Mr. McMillan. He's the top guy, but he has designated out all of these, and it is a great work. It is the billion-dollar industry. They are at the top of the list. Even industries in China, you go look at it, they are number one of the most money and making money in the commerce, especially here in America. It's billions of dollars. I think about that, but you know, I think about another situation. A big company. But I talk about a big spiritual company. And our CEO, our founder, our president is the Lord God. He is in charge. He is the ultimate manager. He is the one that has now designated his children to be stewards, to be managers of what he has blessed us with. And that's what we see here in the meaning of this verse. We are talking about God is our founder. He is our CEO. And did you know that every blood-bought child of God, get this, has been entrusted with a mission, has been entrusted with a responsibility. And it all can come down to this now, and it all can come down to this. It is making known to a lost and dying world that there is a God in heaven who loves them and died for them and rose again the third day. That is the ultimate mission. And there are many things that come in with that, of course. But that is the mission that God is called all of His children to be. To be stewards. Now, something very interesting in this context, and I'll get into it here in just a second. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But you know, in the context here, He's talking to some carnal people. Some people that have started making men the focus. Had started making this man, and this man, and this man to be, hey, he's the one you really want to be under. He's the one you really want to follow. And it had become a carnal situation where Paul had to deal with it. But you know this wonderful thing that God has called us to as He is our CEO. We are not working for Him. I appreciate what it said about Mr. McMillan. I did a little reading up on him, and it's a pretty fascinating story. I don't know if they have a biography out on him or not, but he started off as just a regular associate working at a distribution center, a summer job, before he even went to college. It's a high school job. And over the years, he went to University of Arkansas and he graduated and he started moving up the ladder and just working hard. And that's one of the reasons they say why he's done so well is because he is not looking at the people working for him. He is looking at the people working with him. And do you know God looks at us that way? God does not look at us as working for him. He looks at us as working with him. What an honor. What a blessing that we get to work with the Creator God in this great mission that he's called us to. You know, I'd like to see some things here about this passage. Some things that a manager or a steward, if you will, implies. Number one, I want us to notice that it implies there is an owner. There is an owner. God has called us to be managers, but in most cases when there's managers, usually the manager is answering to the owner. And he gives an account to the president, the owner, the CEO, and that's what we need to understand right off in this great blessing and responsibility of being a steward, of being a manager of the Lord God, is we need to understand that he is the owner. He's the one in charge. Look there in verse 22 of chapter 3. Just look up a couple verses from chapter 4, verse 1. Remember I was telling you there was a lot of carnality going, and listen to what Paul says. I'll start in verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And get this, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Listen, that right there is speaking of ownership. And we'll talk more about that here in just a second. But he is the rightful owner. That's one of the things as a steward, as a child of God, we got to realize right up front. It will help us so much in life, and we lose sight of this. But it is this. God owns everything I have. Everything. And I mean everything. I just recently, it was a pretty good feeling, I just recently I'm in the process. There, something's caught up. You know, he transferred from South Carolina to Georgia. I bought my Toyota Tundra. I bought it in South Carolina. And then I came over here, got it paid off, and now I'm trying to get my title. Well, listen, I don't know what it is with the DMV, but South Carolina and Georgia don't get along, okay? And I'm trying to get that messed out, but eventually it's going to make it to my house, and technically it's already electronically there, they say. But my name is on that title. Thomas Brent Jennings Jr. My name is on that title and as showing ownership that it is now mine. But you know, the truth is it's got my name on it, but really that's not my truck. That's God's truck. That's God's truck. In fact, I mean, I know they probably wouldn't make exceptions for this, and they wouldn't do this because they think you're really weird and they just kind of throw their system off. But technically, if we wanted to be honest, everything that we do buy and everything that is official with a title of some sort, whether it be a house, a car, or whatever it may be, technically, what we need to put right there, the rightful owner is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can put under that borrower, then we can put our name. Because everything we have, ladies and gentlemen, is been lent from the Lord God Himself. It's Him lending us that which He wants us to be managers of. I'll say it like this, my belongings belong to God. My belongings belong to God. You know, that mortgage payment. You know that thing that has my name on it and has a nice little image of the bank's name on it too. One day it may have my name only on it, but truly and honestly, that house is not my house. That's God's house. That's the Lord's house. And how much it will help us as God's children to look at everything we have is God just letting us borrow to use and to manage for His glory. For the mission of helping people come to know of His love and mercy, of His grace and His desire to save them. Everything I have, everything I purchase, it is given to me from God. You know, my belongings belong to God. You know, He's lending them to me to manage. Why does He let me borrow them? Why does He trust me with them as an owner? Why would He do that? Well, hold your place there and just flip over a couple pages. Number one, I will say for His glory. Look over to chapter 6. I'm going to move quickly, so y'all don't have to listen quickly, okay? Listen at chapter 6 here. Look what it says in verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. We'll get to verse 19 here in a second, but I want you to see this. Therefore, since we are bought and we are owned, therefore, what, church? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I will say the first reason He has given us these things to manage, it is for His glory. It is for the glory of God. I am to use everything that God has given me for His glory. That is indeed the main reason. But also, not only for His glory, but I would say also for the others' needs. Hold your place there in our passage in chapter 4 and go over with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, please. 1 Timothy, chapter number 6. 1 Timothy, chapter number 6. I'd like to read to you verse 18. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy here and encouraging him in the realm of money and the realm of how to use, how to encourage those in your church that do have money and make money and may even be wealthy. This is sort of a chapter that it takes about 7 or 8 verses to encourage them, and this is part of it right here. We know that this is the passage that's talking about the love of money is the root of all evil. But then we get down to verse number 18. And look what he says here about the things God gives us. It says here that they do good, those that have money and riches and possessions, that they be rich and good works. Get this, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. What is that saying right there? Here in the context, it's talking about those that are blessed financially, and you can put that in with anything, though. You could put that, maybe you've been blessed with a nice vehicle. Maybe you've been blessed with a certain type of home. Maybe you've been blessed with a certain type of land. Whatever it may be, you know what the Lord is telling them right there? Use it to be a blessing. Use it to be a blessing to others. That's how you can be a good steward. Now, I'm not talking about this socialism type thing where the government decides on who you give it to. But I am talking about God's people determining their heart that they're going to look at the blessings that God has given them, however it may look, and saying, Lord, how can I use these things for you? Who can I bless, Lord? Who can I be an encouragement to? It may not be money. It may be something else. And we'll talk about that. But the fact of the matter is, Paul said, you let them be rich in good works. Let them see who they can be a help to. But then I want to say this. There are some people that say, well, those that have money and those that have things, it is a carnal thing to use them for themselves. It is a carnal thing to enjoy things for themselves that God has blessed them with. Listen, I want to tell you something. That is not biblical. You know what's biblical? God says that He wants us to use the things that He's blessed us with to enjoy. Did you know that God's Word says that, hey church, I know you have, I've blessed you. I want you to use it to glorify me. I want you to use it to be a blessing to others. And by the way, I want you to use it to enjoy for yourselves as well. You say, Pastor, where in the world do you get that? Same passage we're looking at. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, I'll read it there in verse 17. Look what Paul says to Timothy. Charge them that are rich in this world, those that are doing well financially, possessions, that they be not high-minded. Don't let it go to their head. Nor trust in uncertain riches. Don't let your life be dependent upon your riches. But in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to what? Enjoy. Nothing carnal about enjoying the things that God has blessed us with. It's part of it. The only time that it would be wrong is when we only use those things for ourselves. And we don't make it a point to, number one, use it for the glory of God and His mission of getting people to Christ. And two, we don't use it to help others that are in need in some way. That's when it would be a bad thing. That's when it would be a carnal thing. And that's when I would be a bad manager, a bad steward. But we see here, God owns everything. And He says, listen, I'm going to give you this to use for My glory. So we see God owns everything I have, but then get this. And this is really the center of it, boy. It just hits you right here. God owns everything I have, but you know what? God owns me. God owns me. He just doesn't own my truck and my house and my clothes and my bank account. He just doesn't own that. You know what? God owns me. Because He bought me fair and square on a place called Golgotha. A place called Calvary. Where King Jesus laid His life upon the cross and shed His precious blood for a hell-bound sinner like Brinson Jennings. He bought me fair and square on that day. And oh, bless His holy name. As many times as I try to rob Him and not give Him something or give Him that, I always have to come back to this truth as a child of God. He owns everything. My desires, my hopes, my everything, my talents, my who I am, my personalities, everything God Almighty owns. I tell you what, it's not myself. I don't own myself. Go over there again and look at chapter 6. I'm going to read 19 to you now. I read 20. Look what he said to these Corinthians that were having lots of trouble with sexual sin. It was an epidemic issue. And Paul is trying to tell them that, look, church, you got to get away from this. Verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And guess what he's going to say? 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And get this, church, and ye are not your own. I'm not my own. I don't own Brinson Jennings anymore. I tried to own him for 21 years. I tried to own him, but I realized it wasn't working out. And I gave my life to Christ, and He took ownership. And He says, okay, now that I own you, I'm going to use you as a manager. I'm going to let you use the things I'm going to bless you with. And I am not my own. Listen, you are not your own. Can I ask you something, child of God, this morning? Very serious question. Have you ever come to the place in your life, you say, I've been saved, preacher. I know I've trusted Christ as my Savior. But you've never come to the place where you said, Lord, I've never recognized your full ownership. I've never recognized that you own everything about me. And for that reason, Lord, I'm yielding. A life of total surrender. Of saying, God, my life is yours. My family, my finances, my everything, my talents. Lord, what little I have is yours. If you've never done that, can I say something to you? You are going to live in bondage as a child of God. And you will be under the chastening hand of God, the loving chastening hand of God. Because He says those that He chastens, He loves until He brings you back. But you don't have to live that way. You can say, Lord, I'm not my own. You bought me. But get this. Not only is God the owner, and it shows that He owns everything. He owns me, and I don't own myself. But get this, and get it clear, church. This will help you in life, and it'll help me. Get this very clearly. God owns me. I don't own myself, and no man owns me. No man owns me. We're living in a world, my dear friends, in a world of politics. And it, quite frankly, it stinks. You let that politics creep into the church, and you got this circle, and you got that circle, and you got this man, and you got that man, and you got this and that. And if you don't do it the way they want to do it, then you all of a sudden become an outcast, and you're no good. And you know what happens? People get caught up in that vicious cycle of trying to think that man owns them. But my dear friends, I stand on the book. No man owns me. No man owns you. It is the Lord Jesus who owns us. This is not Brinson Jennings' church. This is not your church. This is Jesus' church. And we give an account to the Lord Jesus. And I tell you what, Paul dealt with this with these Corinthians too. Look there, same thing. Look there in chapter 7, just over a couple chapters. Look what he says to this crowd. They were getting caught up in being slaves to men, to their thoughts, to their manipulation, and to their fear. Look what he says in chapter 7, verse 23. Says it clearly. Ye are bought with a price, church. Look at that. What does he say? Be not ye the servants of men. Hey, listen, I'm not ashamed of the name Baptist. I don't make any apologies for it. But I don't answer to a Baptist hierarchy. I don't answer to some pope, and neither do you. I don't have some hierarchy. That's why we are considered an autonomous, independent church, because we are governed within the body, but we are ultimately governed by Jesus Christ Himself. We give an account to our Lord for what we do here at this church. I don't have to write a letter and ask permission from some hierarchy. I want to tell you right now, that's a mess. And you know what? They become servants of men, and they're not being good stewards. We got to understand that God is the owner. God's in charge. That's why He told me, the pastor, in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, listen to what he says. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock, to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. That's the church, folks. And guess what he says? Which He hath purchased with His own blood. Praise God, Jesus paid His own precious blood for this church. And no man owns this church. You may be a member, but you don't own this church, my dear friend. I may be the pastor, but I don't own this dear church. This is Jesus' church. Amen. Hallelujah to that. I believe that when we understand that He is owner, oh my, our perspective as managers and stewards will change. Let me move quickly here. Secondly, not only do we recognize the rightful owner, the Lord Jesus Christ, but look back there in our passage. It says here there is a responsibility. The stewards. That steward, again, just means a manager. One who oversees things. And I don't care if you're a teenager here this morning or a senior citizen. It doesn't matter. We are all in positions of managing something. You teenagers may say, well, man, all I'm having to manage right now is keeping my room clean. I'm not going to ask how that's going, okay? There's a responsibility for everyone here. It doesn't matter who you are, there's a responsible. Just let me go through a list, and I'm going to spare you the time, okay? We can get into it later, but I'm not going to preach on each of these points. We'll let the Holy Spirit do the preaching on these. But these are some areas that God has given us responsibility. Listen up. Family role. Husband, wife, son, daughter, parent, grandparent, uncle, aunt. Let me tell you something. God's put you in that role to be a steward. How are you doing with that role? What about my belongings? I already touched on that. My money. That's not my money. Yes, God, from what I can tell in the Word of God, it is at least 10% to give back to God. And the other 90%, guess what, is to use for Him too. That is in reference to giving unto the church. I can give more than that. It's all His. It's all His. But my belongings, my possessions, you know, things that you use to enjoy, it's okay, but is it used for the glory of God? What about your body? What about your body? Your physical body? Are we being a steward of our body? Are we trying to take care of what God has given us? I had a medical doctor tell me one time, and it scares me. It really does. He said it is factual. In their research, he said, listen, how your body is going to be, okay, in the next decade is how you have lived and have treated your body for the past 10 years. It's all how I'm living right now, 10 years from now, is really when it's going to show. And you know, God has called us to take care of ourselves and not to abuse ourselves and to try to be good stewards of what He has given us so that we can be effective for the glory of God. I think about gifts and talents. I think about everybody in this room has a gift and talent. It may not be music. It may be something totally different, but you got it. Have you asked God, Lord, how can I use what You've blessed me with as a gift or a talent? A responsibility of a steward. What about the gospel? Paul says over and over, the Lord has entrusted me with the gospel. We read about, are we being stewards of the gospel? How are we managing the gospel in our church? What are we doing individually and making sure that we are managing the gospel in such a way in our life that we're making it available? We talked about in Sunday school this morning that man, those hypocrites in the temple, they had filled the court of the Gentiles. And those Gentiles couldn't even get in to hear the good news because they were so caught up in their religious formalities and their hypocrisy that people couldn't even get in to hear the Word of God. What are we doing to make the gospel available in our own lives, in our own church? What about a church member? We're going to do a study here in the next few weeks, starting up, on being a faithful church member. What does it mean to be a faithful church member? What does God say about the responsibility of stewarding and managing the blessing of being a part of a local body and trying to be effective for the glory of God? You ask yourselves, and I could go down the list, but just being a responsible steward. But then thirdly, in closing this morning, we see the rightful owner. We see there is a responsibility. That's the stewards. But we see here that the requirement, it is required. Thirdly, this idea of managing, being a steward, there implies trust. There implies trust. It requires trust to be faithful. What does that mean? We've talked about in these areas that God has given me. What about being reliable? What about being honest? What about being dependable? What about being trustworthy? You know, I'm thankful that that verse doesn't say it is required in stewards that a man be found flawless. Aren't you thankful for that, church? Woo! We'd all have to get out of line, wouldn't we? No, it didn't say flawless. It doesn't say it is required in stewards that a man be found perfect. It doesn't say that. None of us would be able to be faithful stewards. But something we all can be. We all can be faithful. We all can grow as God is dealing with us and stretching us and growing us and teaching us and chastening us and teaching us to be effective managers for this great mission of reaching the world with the gospel. He is teaching us to be trusted, to be trustworthy people. You know, I don't know how Walmart, all the details of how Walmart can be so effective, but no one can argue, friend. I don't care, you can get all the stores together and they can give their opinions and this and that, but the truth is, they are very successful. And I believe that they have caught on to the philosophy that what they're going to do, and that president and that CEO, he has got caught on to this, that look, I want the people to know that I'm with them. I want the people to know that I'm for them and that I've been in their shoes, I've worked where they worked, and listen, I want to use them to help this go forward and work together. And my friend, don't you ever forget that we have a God that walked where we walked. Ben has been where we have been, who's been where we are in our struggles. He came and lived this life in flesh. Jesus Christ, He did. And He did it perfectly. And He came and fulfilled, oh, what only He could do, and that was the law of God. He fulfilled it perfectly. But oh, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but wasn't always tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I'm telling you right now, the Lord Jesus has said, children, I've been where you are. I know what you're doing. I know what you called you to do because I'm doing it with you. You are laborers together with me. Now I'm asking you, listen, you have got to be faithful in your stewardship. You need to be faithful managers. What about you, church? I think about we know that there's a rightful owner. Let me ask you this. I may be speaking to someone here this morning and you say, honestly, Pastor, I don't know that I've ever even been born again. I don't know that Jesus owns me. I don't know that I've been bought with a price, the precious price of the blood of Christ. I don't know that. But I sure would like to know. You can do that today. You can come forward right here in this service in the invitation time and say, "Pastor, I need someone to take the Bible and show me how I can get saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus and know that I've been bought with a price." But then I may be talking to a dear child of God. You have been bought, but you've been bucking. "No, Lord, you can't have that. No, Lord, these are my things." Instead of saying, "Lord, I want to just be a good steward. Everything I have is yours. Take it and use it. Lord, just help me to be used of you. And I don't want to just be a manager, Lord. I want to be a faithful one." That is what's implied. I thank God for all our servicemen and women. I thank God for all our military branches. I served in the U.S. Coast Guard, and I'm thankful for my time in there. But there is one branch that just has always stood out in my heart. And I have respect for all of them, but for some reason, there's one branch that has just always hit me in my heart that I just had a real honor and respect for. And that is the United States Marine Corps. And one of their mottos is Semper Fi. And ladies and gentlemen, what that means is always faithful. You can count on a United States Marine of being faithful. That's ingrained to them. They've been trusted to them. They will be trustworthy. They may not be perfect. They may not always get it accomplished right. But one thing you can count on is that they're going to do what you ask them to do. And I just pray, "Oh God, in my life, Lord, you've called me to do some things. You've entrusted me with some things. Lord, please help me to be the manager I need to be, the steward." Ronald Reagan, a president that I just highly esteem. I'm so thankful for his life and leadership. He made this quote about the United States Marines. He said, "Some people spend an entire lifetime wondering if they made a difference in the world. But the Marines don't have that problem. They've made a difference." And folks, if we want to make a difference, we have got to be determined to be faithful stewards with what God has blessed us with. Let's pray.